This is the 21st. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Tomorrow, runners will be lining up at the old state capitol building in Springfield for the 52nd annual Lincoln Half Marathon. It's part of a handful of races throughout the state starting this month. For those of us who do not run 13.1 or even the full 26.2 miles, we wanted to figure out why runners are so committed. If you are a runner and you are listening, you can give us a call to tell us why you run. 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show as well. Here to help us answer that question in studio with me, Jan Seely is co-director of the Illinois Marathon and Half Marathon. That's coming up in a few weeks, the weekend of April 29th. Thanks for being here, Jan.
Thanks for having me.
And Justin Rhodes is a researcher at the University of Illinois Beckman Institute. He studies why animals and humans are included in that run. Thanks for being here too, Justin.
Thank you.
Jan, I know that when we started this conversation about why you run, you have an intensely personal story as to why you continue to run. But I thought we should start with why you first started running.
I have to say that I've been a runner. Just when you're a little kid, you run everywhere. Mm-hmm. But my formal introduction to running was in high school as an incoming freshman from a new school. My brother's best friend was the captain of the cross-country team. And so he said, yeah, why don't you join the team? I thought, okay, that sounds cool. So that was really how I got into formalized running. And believe it or not, after my first year in cross-country, I stopped running cross-country. I switched to field hockey, but I did still keep running and ended up, you know, running in high school. But after my collegiate career and U.S. field hockey career was over, I continued to run and run and run and run to the point where that was the main thing that I did. But I know where you're heading. I fell in love with the Yale track captain who ended up becoming my husband.
Right. Yeah. How did running, when you first met your husband, yeah, Joe, how did running first connect the two of you?
Well, I had a lot of friends at Yale who were on the track and field team. And that's how I met Joe, who was the captain of the team. We started dating our senior year. And so running became the thing that we did together after we graduated and after we taught for 5 years in Connecticut. And then we came here for grad school in 87. So it became the strongest thread, really, in our life, in our marriage.
And as you say that, you were married for quite some time, and there was a point where he was diagnosed with leukemia. And I wonder if you could tell me how he approached his illness and fighting that like a race. Do you think that would be an accurate way to describe it?
Certainly, he faced it with an athlete's mentality, which is to take it day by day, to not let the up and down of any life experience make him too high or too low, but just to try to stay pretty steady. And that's certainly a metaphor for how long distance runners approach a race. I always say, you should feel good in the opening miles of a marathon. Don't get too excited. The bad ones are coming.
Right.
So I think that he really pursued and faced that illness with strength. Certainly, at the time he was 49 when he was diagnosed, a life of fitness certainly helped him begin his fight against the disease about as strong as he could be. So that really helped. But a lot of mental fortitude that you develop as an athlete.
And when he got sick, did you still run together?
Well, you know, he was diagnosed on a Monday in the hospital in Chicago 2 days later and didn't come home for months. So no, running was not something that we could do. But there was a treadmill at the University of Chicago Medical Center where he was being treated. And he did his best on days that he felt well enough to do a little walking. And then I would visit and we would walk in the hallways. And after his first transplant, when he came back to Champaign-Urbana at the end of March of 2011, we were able to get out and walk. He couldn't run, but we walked. And it became the new thing we did together. And I have such wonderful, warm memories of those walks. And we used to go to the same place all the time. And so that area in Champaign has special meaning for me now.
And before he passed away, your husband, he gave you a list of races he wanted you to complete for him.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still completing that list?
Yeah. I mean, some of them are specific races and some of them are places. I have to say, I don't take any run where Joe's not with me. He's with me every day, but especially when I run, especially in the morning, I run with various friends early in the dark, and I somehow I've connected Joe with the moon. And oftentimes when I'm running early, the moon is still up. And so I'm certainly taking him with me on every run, but certain places, like going back out to Big Sur, Pikes Peak, those are races that he wanted me to make sure I did. I think the biggest thing was to just keep running, because he said, "How will you know I'm there? You'll feel me in the breeze, and you'll see me in the trees." And so just the act of being out and running and experiencing those is a way for me to stay close to his spirit.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. It's Jan Seeley. She's the co-director of the Illinois Marathon and Half Marathon. We're talking about why people run. And if you want to join us, you can give us a call at 1-800-222-9455, or you can tweet to 21st Show. We got a tweet from Brian Hartman, and he said, "Running is good for the heart, and it's cheaper than a therapist. It's a great time to clear the mind." And Justin, I wanted to bring you into the conversation as well. As we're hearing Jan's story, we're hearing what Brian's saying on Twitter. How does the science bear that out?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's long been known that exercise is healthy. So it increases cardiovascular health, is what the tweeter sounds like he was referring to. It strengthens muscles, for example. It strengthens bone. It also, we've recently discovered that it can have a profound impact on cognitive performance as well, and keeping you cognitively intact as you age. And many of the things that I just described, like the heart disease and muscle loss and bone weakening, occurs with aging. And if you keep physically active, it's absolutely the best way to keep healthy overall, not just your peripheral health, but also your brain.
And so that's physical health. When we get specifically to running, you've done a lot of research, and particularly with mice, about this. I mean, what does your research tell us about particularly long-distance running?
Right. So, I mean, there's two different parts of my research that address this. One is an interesting question of what motivates animals or people to want to run. And that's an interesting question, that the answer basically is that running can be rewarding for certain individual humans, certainly. For many people are sort of surprised at that, because they don't really have much motivation to run. I think as you get older, you definitely lose some, as you mentioned. But that is rewarding and can be addictive in the same sense that a drug. Now, the other side of it is, what does exercise or long-distance running do to the brain? And it has profound influences. For example, it increases the numbers of new neurons that grow in the hippocampus. The hippocampus, as many people know, is a critical brain area for learning and memory. It's the first area in the brain that integrates information from all the different sensory modalities, so you can make unique representations of the world. And that's the area of the brain that's most active when you're actually running. The faster you run, the more intensely you run. That becomes activated and it grows. And so that's critical. And that's also the area of the brain that declines with aging. So
there's two things that you mentioned, and I want to get to the first part first, where you said that certain people like running. So do you think that there's, and it's interesting, as I think about my experience, I do 5Ks. I've never gotten up to a half or full marathon, but it actually took me 2 years of running before I liked it. And I felt like it was something I wanted to do. And it really did take me 2 years, which I don't know if that's a normal thing or not, but do you think that people have genetic predispositions to wanting to run?
Absolutely. So we've proven that, in a sense, at least in animals, where we've done an experiment where we've bred mice for high levels of running. So basically the way it works is...
What are the genes that are involved?
Well, that's a more complex question.
The maybe genes. The disposition. Okay, so
the
let's go to this. What's the disposition?
The disposition is an animal that basically has a brain that looks like it's been addicted to some substance, very much in common with what like cocaine or heroin or other things. Because these animals were bred, they were given access to the running wheel. They chose to run as much as they wanted to, right? And we bred the animals that ran the most over and over. You're breeding animals that find it incredibly rewarding and becomes very addictive and reinforcing. And to the point where it's at this, and when you breed mice for over 80 generations and 25 years of selection, which is what we've been doing, these mice now, some of them run 30 kilometers a night, every night.
Wow.
On these running wheels.
That's Justin Rhodes. He's at the Beckman Institute. He's in studio with me, Jan Seeley, co-director of the Illinois Marathon and Half Marathon. Jan, you're laughing as he's saying all of this.
I know runners just like those mice.
Well, and we had someone call our hotline to talk about this. I wanted to play a little bit of a message when we asked why people run. Here's Victor from Milwaukee.
I've been running since about the ninth grade, and I'm 55 right now. that really helps with stress levels. It helps me sleep at night. I have a very stressful job, and when I run at night, I can put all that behind me and gives me a sense of accomplishment. I really do believe in the theory that endorphins flood your body, which gives you a sense of well-being. So that's why I do it.
And the endorphins, is that, Justin, is that, what does the science say about endorphins? Is that what you're talking about, sort of the underlying of this addictive behavior that you're saying?
Endorphins definitely could be part of it. There's also dopamine that's released when, you know, you're running. Dopamine is a compound that can be rewarding.
What's the difference between endorphins and dopamine?
Well, endorphin binds to opioid receptors in your brain, the same thing that heroin or morphine would stimulate. So when you are in pain or you hurt yourself.
So that's adrenaline when people are saying you have
sort
of like.
Well, that's different.
Oh, that's
so
different
adrenaline
too.
Is an epinephrine.
Okay. I'm giving you lots of different things.
So that's the point. That's the point. There's a lot of different things. I think there's not a clear answer as to which one of those contributes. And there's somewhat of a debate as to whether the runner's high exists. But that's kind of silly because certain people say, you know, definitely say it exists.
Jan, you say it definitely exists.
I think maybe it takes some time to develop. Or you need to go a certain distance or...
You think you, Jan, do you think you need to go a certain distance?
Yeah.
What's been your experience with that?
Yeah. I mean, I
so I'm just not running long enough. That's what you guys
are
saying.
And I want to make an important point, which is that the Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon Weekend is much more than a marathon and a half marathon. We have a race for everybody. There's
a 5K. No,
for you.
I saw it's Friday
5K,
night. I'll
10K.
Do it.
Yes. Yeah. There's a relay.
I'm gonna do that one.
Yeah. So oftentimes I have friends who are still new to running and they do it because... Well, they want to do our event, but they're still not liking it yet. And it just breaks my heart that they haven't quite started to like it. Do you like it yet? Nah, still not. So I don't know. I think there is a distance component to the release of the endorphins.
And do you think it's different for different people then, Justin? Because
absolutely.
Maybe some
absolutely.
People need
There's
to
no
run
question.
Longer. Physiologically, people just have different makeups for this?
No question about it. So that's demonstrated too in the mice where you have individual variation. And none of those even come close to what you can breed into them, which means you're collecting certain genes and alleles that you can see. So there's a huge influence of genetics, but also experience and rearing, and that changes the way that you react to different stimuli. But and there's variation there. But I think, you know, some people, maybe you push them hard and long, and they still will never like it.
Yeah, and others, honestly, I just heard a story this morning about a gentleman who watched the WCIA live show about the race last year, had never run in his life, and he said to his 13-year-old daughter, I'm going to run that marathon next year, and he is. He's lost 50 pounds, and he is going to run. And he stepped out the door that day, fell in love with it, and it was instant. And other people, like, you know, been running for 2 years, and they still don't like it, but
they
do it.
Well, after 2 years, I liked it.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I like it now. Yeah. It just took me 2 years,
right.
And that was maybe 8 or 9 years ago. So
yeah.
I don't not like it.
Yeah.
I used to love it. I used to run all over the place.
And you
then
don't
I hurt
now?
My knees.
Well, and that's my last question to you, because what is, when we think particularly about long distance running, there's been debates for years about if there are negative health effects associated.
Well, I think, again, big impact.
What does the science say? Oh, what it?
Well, some people may have a certain form or a certain way that their ligaments and bones are aligned in a way that makes them able to run till they're like 99 years old. And other people, like me probably, but I also may have been some choices I made. I used to love running in the sand with bare feet and so on. I think I tweaked things doing that. So.
Do you have an opinion about the barefoot running or the people with the little web thingies
that
people
wear? I couldn't really comment.
You won't say it.
You probably have a better
Jan, what do you think?
Decision than that.
You should go to Body and Soul and have them tell you what you should run in. I mean,
all right, if you're in the Champaign-Urbana area,
yeah,
you can
I mean,
go there.
People, you got to do what works. Don't do it because it's a fad. You know, there's a right shoe for everybody, and so if a minimalist shoe is right for you, then they'll know that.
So, Jan, we know that the Lincoln Half Marathon starts tomorrow morning in Springfield. Can you tell us a little bit about if we've inspired some people to join in the weekend's events for April 28th?
28th, 29th, 30th, yeah. So we're in our eighth year, the Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon Weekend, something for everybody. All the races start over by the State Farm Center. Everybody finishes in Memorial Stadium. It's certainly one of the biggest events in the year for our community. We have a national reputation for very hospitable, you know, community members, and plenty of time to register. Registration closes on the 15th of April.
Great. So we'll put all of that on our website if you go to 21st Show. Thanks very much to Jan Seely and to Justin Rhodes. The 21st is produced by Amanda Huntingfort, Christine Herman, and Austin Keating. Technical direction comes from Jason Croft with help from Steve Mork. Scott Cameron is their news director. You can always reach us by emailing talk@21stshow.org. You can leave us a voicemail like other people have done. You can call 217-300-2121. Visit 21stshow.org for all of our contact information. Have a great weekend. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Thanks for listening to The 21st.